Father, we thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day, God. We thank you that we can just hear testimonies, Lord, and celebrate your goodness in our lives and your faithfulness, Lord. We thank you that your goodness and who you are, Lord, does not change when our circumstance changes, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that everything around us can change and transform and stuff can go up and down, Lord. But we thank you that we have absolute confidence and we know that you do not change. And we celebrate that, Lord. We thank you for your goodness in our lives, God. We thank you, Lord, that even when we do not feel like we want to jump up and down, Father, you remain good, Lord. You remain faithful. And we celebrate that. We thank you for that, God. And we thank you that this is so evident in your word, is that constant, that rock that we know, that we are founded on, that is Christ. And as we come and we just sit under your word now, we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are our teacher. And we commit this time to you. We ask, Lord, that you'd impart to us life, Lord, and life in abundance, Lord. That it will be more than just information, but an impartation of an abundance of life tonight, Lord. Our desire is to know you, Lord. Our desire is to draw near to you and to be changed into your image, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let me just plug this in also before I forget. Okay. We had an interesting thing happening in the Weybridge side of things. Actually, a few of the families from this side were also involved. We had a holiday, kids' holiday club happening. You guys know what that is? It's the place where when the moms and when the parents don't know what to do with their children. On holiday, they park and they dump their kids somewhere else. No, but it's really amazing. The moms of the congregations got together and got things organized, and it was really brilliant. And the theme was basically, who is Jesus? And it was a secret agents holiday club. So it was like a big investigation into who this person is. And it was very well done, and they actually had John Dean come and help, David's brother. He was also an actor. And it was really good. And this morning they kind of presented some of their stuff. And actually, I was actually able to join on Friday, and I learned quite a lot. And it's actually very encouraging to see, even at Abigail's age, how much of an impact something like this can have in a child's life. Because, I mean, even though everything was in English and she doesn't, well, she's getting there, but we don't speak English to her, obviously. She, amazing how much she's learned in this week and how much she's, you know, getting at this age. It's really a great blessing. So we're going to continue a little bit on that, and I'm going to look at a few scriptures around who Christ is and who does he say he is. And there's a few key places in Scripture and in the Gospels where Jesus actually uses the phrase "I am," and there's a few key kind of statements he makes about himself, and we're going to look at a few of those tonight. And I want to focus specifically on one of them. Should we close? Let this glare can get better. Chad, do you mind maybe making that hole a bit smaller, and then we can still have air, but not less of that. Thanks very much. Okay, let's start in John chapter 8. We're going to do a lot from John this evening. Thank you. Let's look at chapter 8, verse 14. Jesus answered and said to them, "Even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true, for I know where I come from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from and where I am going." And then later in the chapter, Jesus said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." And then they took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. And the reason why they got so upset is because he literally said, the "I am" that he used there is the same "I am" where that God identifies himself in the Old Testament. He says, "I am the great I am. I am." It's a bit odd, but in the Hebrew it makes more sense. It speaks of him having been forever and him being and continually being going to be forever. Now the kind of almost basically identifying the fact that God is outside of time. So it's not like he was and he is and he's just I am. He remains. And he basically used that same phrase and he says, and he throws them completely because Abram is the big father of the faith, the Jews obviously big on Abram, and he says, before Abram was, I am. And the guys are getting upset. They want to stone him. They reckon this guy is committing serious blasphemy. But amazingly, through the whole of the Gospels, you can see this amazing way that Christ is so confident in who he is, confident in where he's coming from, but also so clear and steadfast in where he's going. Although it was a bit of a scary place where he was going. He was going to the most horrific death that you can imagine. But steadfast and confident, knowing who he is. And we see, there's a bit here where it talks about him saying, it's also a little bit in further in chapter 8, talking about as Christ, as he is with God and God is with him, and we're going to look at some of that a bit later on even. He talks about how his identity is firmly in God and who he is in God. So let's continue a little bit in that and look at a few other scriptures around that. Now, just before we do that, there's all through Scripture, all through the Gospels, we see Christ making these statements, and we're going to look at a few of those, most of them, not in too much detail. It's going to take too long. But if one looks at the claims that God, like Christ makes, like this one, because what he's basically saying here, he says, I'm God. And there's a few times, not many, but there's a few where people actually ask him directly, kind of confront him, but are you the Son of God? And there's only one or two places where he actually directly says it is as you say. And he acknowledges that he is the Son of God. And, this is, to say stuff like this, and we'll get to some of this other statements, most of them are not politically correct, right? Not PC, as they say. Most of the stuff Jesus said is not a popular thing. And, as you can see here, the reaction is not positive. Have you had that happen recently where you say something and people start picking up rocks? Trying to get rid of you. It was serious. And but we even look at these things, and it's important that in the society we live in and the stuff that challenges our faith and challenges our beliefs on a daily basis is that we have this absolute confidence in the truth of what Christ declares. Yeah. Society will tell us, and what's correct out there will tell us, no, there are many roads that lead to, all roads lead to Rome. So whatever road you choose, or whatever kind of spirituality you choose, that's up to you. And, many different people, different strokes for different folks in a different way. People choose different ways, right? And the moment we say, there's only one way. Or the moment we say, Jesus is the only way, as we're going to get to that now, people get nervous. But when Christ makes these statements about himself, it's important, often people say, God, Jesus was just a prophet. Have you heard that? Prophet, or he was a good man. He did lots of good things. He did lots of miracles. He's a good guy. But no, he's not the Son of God. But do you see that there's no real, Jesus doesn't really give us the option of having an in-between because of the stuff he says. There's no gray area, really. Because if he, he's either who he says he is. He is either, I am the Son of God, or he's a lunatic. Because who would make statements like this about himself? Not a good man, not any prophet, any decent prophet, unless he says who he is. Are you with me? So there's no gray area there, and it's important to challenge people with this. No, I mean, if you say Christ is a good man, do you believe what he said? Anyway, this is just a little bit of apologetics there. Okay, let's go forward. Let's go to the first one. John 14, verse 6. This is exactly this. It says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And then a little bit earlier in John, he says in chapter 11, 25, it says, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And that's kind of what I want to challenge us with. Do we really believe this? Is this what we're confident in? Is this what we stand on? And then I want to challenge us and say, let's take on some of the nonsense that's out there. Obviously with wisdom and gentleness and love. But Jesus cannot just be a good man or a prophet. He's either the Son of God, like he said he was, or he's a complete loony. Amen? Okay, so he declares it. There's no other way. He doesn't say, listen guys, this is up to you. You can choose. There's check on your Google. You know how they do on Google Maps? There's a few options. You can check this route. No, there's traffic on this. It's cool these days. They even give you traffic stuff on Google. I don't know how they do that. But it's not like that. It's not like he says, listen, I can give you directions, and if you go there and there. Apparently the Irish guys have funny ways of doing directions. Is there anybody Irish here? I don't want to offend anybody. I've got family that's Irish, so don't stress. But they kind of sometimes, apparently, I don't know if this is just a joke or something, or the tail end of a joke, but apparently the Irish guy, somebody asked for direction, and the Irish guy said, listen, if I were you, I wouldn't start from here. Yeah. I guess. In any case. So, or the worst one I got is people get this long set of directions and they give you lots of detail about this place and you know that place and this place and it looks like this. If you see that, then you've gone completely wrong. That's not the right place. Anyway, so Jesus doesn't give us directions. He doesn't point us. He says, I am the way. He doesn't give us somebody. He says, this is me. I'm the only way to the Father. You have to come through me. And there are no other options. This is it. Okay, take it or leave it kind of thing. And we're going to look a little bit at that in a different context just in a moment. Okay, let's continue. And he's saying, I'm the resurrection and the life. And he speaks about us having life beyond death. Isn't that a relief in terms of the stuff that we fear in life? To know, I don't even have to fear death. Death has got no hold on me anymore. I can grab a hold of, as we said the other day, the resurrection, that indestructible life that is in Christ. And when Christ is in it, when he's in my life, and he's in what I do, and I'm in him, and he's in me, as Scripture says, then there will be life in what I do. There will be life in my marriage. There will be life in my workplace. There will be indestructible life in everything I do when Christ is in it. And that life will continue to flow. Indestructible, resurrection power, resurrection life. Okay, I need to move. Okay. He says in the second one, John 8:12, he says, Jesus spoke to them. This is at the Festival of Lights, right? So it's all about light. It's big. It's a big thing. And he gets up and he says, spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Again, big statements. No room for, he meant it like this, or like this. He says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. And it's interesting when you think about light and darkness, and I want to really challenge us on this. In this city of ours, sometimes we kind of face darkness. Have you had that? You go into places or you get into situations and you realize, wow, there's darkness in the city. There's parts of the city where you're like, whoa, don't want to go there on my own. I'm not only talking about dangerous places, but even just spiritually, there is an element of it here. And having, if it's interesting when you've been away and you come back, it's as if you kind of realize it a bit more. And sometimes if you've, say, been to a place like India where it's different, the spiritual climate, as they call it, is very different. And you can very much get a feel for the darkness of the place. And I remember, I don't know if you've heard of the place called Varanasi in India. It's almost like a Mecca for the Hindu faith. And it's where they have the Ganges River, and the river's holy, special. And so everything that is holy that dies goes into the river. Yeah, let me not get too graphic, but it wasn't so blessed, guys. For instance, I didn't drink the water there. You can imagine that. But so the cows are holy, so when the cow dies in the river, even the gurus, they get buried there. You know, we actually saw one or two float by. We went on the boats. But in any case, yeah, it's you have to have a strong stomach. But going there now, for thousands of years, people have gone there and, you know, sacrificed to idols. There's still some parts, there's still child sacrifices happening. Obviously, you won't see that on the news. But it's a reality. Heavy, serious darkness. And if you walk in that place, you go into the temples, you go to see where people are worshipping all kinds of gods, you can feel it. It's like a heaviness, it's a darkness on that place. And we were challenged by this. How, you know, because Christ not only says, I am the light, he says to us, you are the light. You are the salt. You are the light. Because he's in us. And we were challenged with this, but if this is the truth, then we need to boldly do what he wants us to do, even in this great darkness. So even in this city of ours, I want to challenge us. If we are indeed the light, as we are like him and becoming more like him, and he tells us, you are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world, what does that look like in our daily lives? I love, you know, the illustration of light and darkness. You know, when this is actually not a, this is a good room to try to give it as an example, because it can go very dark in here. But if you switch off all the lights, it's dark here, right? And you switch one light on, how long does it take for the darkness to flee? Is there like a battle going on? You know, first the darkness goes, runs, hides there, then it's under the chair, then there's a bit of a tussle, you know. No, it's not like that. With amazing lights we have these days, it's gone. It's light. In the same way, when there's light, when light comes into our lives and we come into a situation because of Christ in us, the darkness has to flee. Amen? And I'm not saying go to the nearest witch place and go into the... I'm not saying that. Go and, you know. But I'm saying wherever you go, know that the darkness has to flee. Because the light of the world is in us. Christ is in us. The resurrection power is in us. And go with that boldness. In your workplace, go and pray with that boldness. That when we come there, because you are there, because you're in that place where you work, or in your community where you live, the light is there, and the darkness has to go. Amen. Amen. Let's continue. Bread of life, John 6:35. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Again, Jesus, he's just wild. He doesn't say he will sometimes not be hungry, he will never hunger, and he will never thirst. And so he's using absolutes all the time. People cringe when that happens, you know, absolutes. But he says, I'm the bread of life, and you will never hunger again. And the question here is, what is it that satisfies you and I? To be honest with you, Anna is the most amazing wife, I must say. Don't you think she's getting more beautiful by the day? Eh? Anyway, she's, as you know, she's an amazing cook. And the Lord knows what he's doing. She loves to cook and I love to eat. No, you don't get a better combination than that. The funniest thing is Anna makes the most amazing carrot cake and she doesn't eat carrot cake. So I'll let you know if there's some around, because I can't do it all. But we know about that stuff, right? We know about what satisfies us physically. And, you know, we talk about what's your favorite food and what's your favorite
this or that.
But when it comes to what really satisfies us in the deepest part, what is it? What is the thing that makes you feel fulfilled and satisfied? Do you find that in Christ? Is He the bread? Is He the thing that makes you feel, oh, I'm satisfied, I'm fulfilled? And when we were a year or so ago, we were looking at some, like a parent kind of course, and one of the things we were talking about was, I think I'm preaching on it a bit as well, was the kind of stages in our lives and how at a certain age it is so important for children to learn this thing, to learn what are the things that really satisfy. And it's crazy how you look around us, and if you talk about that kind of thing and you kind of learn to identify it, you realize, oh, all around us in life we have got adults that don't really know. That's why you have people that have addictive behaviors and stuff, because they addictive personalities and stuff, because they haven't learned what really satisfies. And just an example the guy used, he was saying his son loves PlayStation. Okay. I didn't grow up with that, but I can understand how you can play for a whole weekend. Because once we did a house at a place where there was something like that, and oh, pretty much It was long, yeah. And I didn't see me that weekend because there's this, you know, because you need to finish it, you know, you need to. Yes, it's scary. I don't let that stuff in my house. It's bad for me. But but the problem there is, what he was saying is, he said to his boy, listen, leave the PlayStation. We're going to go climb the mountain. Okay, and they went up the mountain. It was in Stellenbosch. And it's a significant one. So it took them most of the morning. And he says the boys that took some friends along, they were stoked. Such a sense of accomplishment. On the top, they were like, yeah! You know, they were like 12, 13 years old. It was a tough climb, but they had this amazing sense of accomplishment. They went onto the mountain. They can tell all their friends now. They've been right there at the top. And when they came down, so there was a real sense of fulfillment. And how do you identify what really satisfies? It says you don't want to do it again. You don't need to keep doing it. When they came to the bottom, they had no desire to go on top again. Are you with me? We're with PlayStation. You need to keep on, because maybe this time I'll get it right, or maybe this time it'll satisfy me. And you just try. And that's why people get addicted to stuff. And they try, maybe this time, That next drink is going to make me feel better. That next thing, or this relationship, or, you know, pushing that, maybe if I push that boundary even more, I'm going to feel better. I'm going to feel fulfilled. I'm going to feel accepted. And that's so critical. What is it in life that satisfies us? To learn firstly, what are the things that really satisfy? And then to recognize, listen, this Christ Himself is He who satisfies us. Nobody else. Amen. Okay. So we just need to check off time. Let's continue. Okay, I'm going to stand still at the Good Shepherd a little bit and take a look at some more detail here in John chapter 10. Okay. Follow with me. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, that the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. And Jesus said to them again, jumping ahead a bit, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. Let's quickly look at the next one as well. John 10, just a little bit on there. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he's a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I mean, there's a lot in there. I'm just going to pick out a few key bits that I feel God wants us to look at this evening. Except for Adam and Eve, the story of the lost sheep is probably Abigail's favorite at this stage. Not surprisingly, because she's really keen on sheep for some reason. We got lots of sheep in our house. So if you want to bless her with animals, you are welcome to do sheep, but we've got lots, okay? We've got a whole herd of sheep already. They all got names. Oh, no, at least two of them have names. Let me just, Okay. But now if I read the story of the lost sheep, every time we read it, quite often. Every time we read it, there's an illustration, all right? So the illustration on the one side of the page is where the shepherd is looking, all right? So he's standing on like a little hill and he's looking and he's got a little lantern. And then on the other side, there's where he finds the sheep. Okay, now, but when I page it, I need to cover the one side with my hand because she gets so excited about finding the sheep. You know, she's like, yay! You can see her face. It's like, woo! You know, you found the sheep. And she knows exactly what's going to happen. But she's so excited. And, but it's just amazing. In terms of sheep in general, I don't know if you had much to do with sheep in your lives, but we've had some when I was growing up. And we didn't have a massive farm. We like have a small holding. And I suppose in the UK it might count as a farm. But we had some sheep on there. And to be honest with you, since dealing with them, I don't feel this is a compliment that God, you know, compares us with sheep. But anyway, so they're not the most intelligent of animals. And maybe we should just humble ourselves and recognize God is making this comparison for a reason. And there are some similarities, okay? In any case, so what the big thing that we see here that's very different, I don't know what your picture of a shepherd is, but when I was dealing with those sheep of ours, it was very much a matter of me trying to get them to go in a certain direction, so kind of herding them from behind. And we didn't have a sheepdog. Our dogs definitely didn't help at all. They were more of a hindrance, but the sheepdogs are amazing. I don't know how they train them, but herding is what I know, and it's crazy. It's really chaotic, and it's very difficult, and it from my experience, it wasn't a very blessed experience. But this is a very different picture, okay? In those times, and I don't know what it looks like now, and in this context, the shepherd would walk in front of the sheep. And they would follow him. And that's a massive difference. Because what I used to do is kind of try and scare them into a certain direction. Kind of, you know. And then they would just get a big fright and scatter. And they would startle over and go into the garden and eat my mom's stuff. And it would be just crazy. But this is a different picture. We get this picture of the shepherd calling out. And the sheep hearing and knowing his voice and following him. There's no fear there. Do you see that? There's a trust. There's a relationship. There's an intimacy because they know his voice. And apparently hard work those days is they had a big enclosure near the towns where all the sheep of the town would go in, and there was a doorkeeper as we hear here. But in the mornings, the shepherd would take the sheep out and they would just kind of start singing or start talking or just so that the sheep could hear their voice. And then the sheep, the herds would separate by listening to their shepherd, because of the voice that they knew and following. That's quite cool, eh? Yeah, it sounds like good, different kind of job. And so this is a complete different picture, and it's a key that we recognize this, that our shepherd doesn't push us or drive us or chase us or scare us. He leads us. goes in front of us. And because we know his voice, we follow him. And we can recognize when he speaks, and we recognize when he directs us, and we follow him. And even, you know, I just had this picture of Christ, even in difficult parts and in treacherous paths, maybe, and on like cliff edges. When we follow him and when we hear his voice, when we walk in his footsteps, there's nothing to fear. Because he kind of leads us in the right direction, in the right place. Okay, so he doesn't drive us, he doesn't chase us. He leads us and he directs us by his voice. And it's absolutely critical that the sheep hear his voice. And apparently what they used to do, I've heard a few different versions of this, but if there was a sheep that got lost, okay, that probably happens still, they would go and find it. And if it, you know, this happened again and again, maybe some of the little ones kind of still getting to know the voice of the shepherd, they would sometimes even, I heard that they would carry them on top of their shoulders for a while so that they could hear their voice close by and get to know their voice. But I even heard one person say that they even hurt them a little bit, their legs, so that they couldn't walk properly. So that they had to lie on his shoulders and heal so that they could hear properly. Okay, but the point is, those who strayed would be brought right here and would carried on the shoulders, especially the lambs, so that the voice of the mouth of the shepherd would be right at the ear, so they would get to know his voice. And the challenge is, what we tend to do is, when we get hurt or we get offended or we almost always we tend to run. We tend to try and isolate ourselves. We tend to, instead of coming into safety and coming closer to the shepherd, we tend to run in a direction and get panicky and, you know, get offended and go hide somewhere. And that's actually the point where we need to come near to the shepherd again. We need to come close. I really want to encourage us, if you've been through a time where there's maybe been an offense, or there's been some hurt, or there's been some challenges, now is the time for you to draw near to the shepherd, to come into the safety of the sheepfold, to come close so that you can hear his voice. And I believe sometimes, in a similar way, that maybe Jesus allows stuff to happen in our lives that make us wake up and realize, whoa, I'm in danger here. And I need to get close to the shepherd. To be honest with you, there was a time when I was not in a church member at a church years ago, also here in the UK. And after a month or so, I could feel it. I could feel, this is not healthy. I'm taking shots. I'm taking strain spiritually. It was difficult. And I realized I'm vulnerable. Because I'm not in the fold, I'm not in a safe place. And it was really a place of conviction where I knew I had to make a decision. I was being double-minded about churches and this. I was, you know, visiting here and there. And it's a really strongly felt, commit into a body, come into the safe place again, so you can grow in a safe environment. Are you with me still? Okay, so there's a place of safety. There's a place where we need to be close. When there's hurt or when there's pain, or when the, you know, sheep stray, that's when they must actually come closer, so that they can get to recognize the shepherd. All right. Now, apparently, sometimes when they used to stay far out, they wouldn't come, you know, right in back into the town. They used to have these little, more, you know, smaller enclosures, like a little place with rocks and stuff, you know, to protect the sheep. And apparently there, you know, the rocks, they've kind of built like a wall to protect the sheep. And then in the opening, that is apparently where the shepherd literally sat and slept. So he would literally be the door, as Christ says here. He would be the point of access to the sheep. And any wolf or anything or any thief, you know, couldn't really get in, or if he would try to get in, you know, except through the door, then the shepherd would know this is bad news, so we'd get rid of this thing. So the only point of safe access would be the actual shepherd himself, and he would actually also be the barrier. And that's such a powerful picture, as we looked at a couple of weeks ago, of Christ continuing to intercede for us, living to intercede for us. And that place of the picture of intercession is exactly that, where Christ says, I'm looking for somebody to stand in the gap, to make a wall. So we look at a picture of a wall, and there's a gap in the wall, and somebody needs to stand there to make the wall whole again. It's in a picture of prayer, right? And that's what Christ does. Even as a shepherd, he's in the gap there. He's in the opening. He is our protection. He is the one that lives to intercede for us. And something I want to share about more a bit later, not tonight, is that the fact that the work of the cross is finished, but Christ's work of intercession is continuing. Right? So he lives to intercede for us. He continually intercedes for us before the Father. Isn't that like a mind-boggling thought? That even where you and I go through hectic times right now, as believers, facing challenges, hitting, you know, obstacles, having challenges in our faith, and sometimes even, you know, wrestling with sin, Christ continues to intercede for us. That work of intercession is continuous. He lives to intercede for us. And this is the same picture here of the shepherd sitting in the door, right? He is the door. He cannot get to the sheep without going through him. And at the same time, he cannot get to the Father without going through the shepherd, going through Christ. He is the door, okay? He's the door to the sheep as well. All right, so it makes a lot of sense. I think for dads, this makes sense as well. You know, in maybe 30 or 40 years' time, when Abby wants to date somebody... Is that funny? Yeah, so we'll see about that. But you know what? There's going to be a bit of access control, right? So if anybody is interested to speak to her, or in Nicholas or somebody, you know, tell him. Or Josh, I was checking out Benjamin as well. Just be careful. But there's going to be this thing of somebody out there on the road hooting. In the car. No. Not going to happen. Are you with me? No, they're going to have to come and speak to me. And look them eyeball to eyeball. Look them in the eye. And so I think dads understand this, that he's saying, I am the door. Nobody can get to the sheep. They have got to go through me. And it's almost saying, over my dead body, he literally says, I lay down my life for the sheep. Powerful picture. And the discerning here, the key thing here is that the sheep know his voice. And I want to challenge us. How does God speak to us? Do we know his voice? Are we able to discern through all the chaos that's out there, so many things bombarding us, so much coming at us? How is your reception? How are you hearing his voice? Is there stuff in the way? Are there things you need to clear out of the way? It's, you know, we've used this analogy before, but it's as if you have a mobile phone tower, you know, these towers that, you know, with a signal, but it's moving. So for you to keep a good signal, you need to stick close to the tower. Have you seen somebody looking for signal in a field, in the rural area? It's quite a funny sight. I think if somebody didn't know what they were doing, it would look quite bad, you know, running around like this and trying to make contact with something. But our relationship with God and our communication with him is similar, because we need to stay close to him so that we can hear. And Jesus is continually moving. He's continually going forward. He's continually making way. His kingdom is advancing. And you and I need to make sure that we stick close to him. Good signal. All the bars are full. Clear signal, no distractions, no interference, that we can hear his voice. Amen? So I want to challenge, is there stuff that's getting in the way? When last did God speak to you about your workplace, about your family? Is he not saying much? I want to challenge you in that. God is continually speaking to us. If nothing much is coming through, maybe you need to have a check. Has he moved on? Have I missed something? Am I getting distracted with something? Am I a little bit far off? Do I need to come near again? Amen? Are you with me? Keep that signal strong. Okay. So God speaks in different ways, a lot through Scripture, and then speaks through the Holy Spirit, and He speaks through people. We don't like that one. We like the spiritual one, you know, when the angel comes in the dream, and yeah, that's cool stuff. Or the Gabriel comes. but He speaks through people, guys. Sometimes not people that don't know Christ, unbelievers also. Yep. I've had some very ungodly people speak stuff, and then afterwards you realize, I've got to really be honest with myself now, because I think that was God saying something to me. Especially in the Air Force, there's some really ungodly guys there. Yeah, the most ungodly people you can imagine. But He does speak, maybe even through your boss sometimes, or your mother-in-law. Yeah, just a joke. I get along great with my mom. I've got a wonderful mom-in-law. But He speaks through people. Amen. So we need to, are we discerning His voice? Are we close enough to hear the shepherd? Okay. And one of the challenges I felt for us tonight is, are we in a place of safety? Are you hearing the voice of the shepherd about your situation? Because guys, if there is something that you're wrestling through, I can guarantee you God wants to say something to you about it. And if you're not hearing it, it's not because He's not saying anything. Amen. Most of the time it's because we're not either not listening, or we're not positioning ourselves to hear what He has to say. So I want to really encourage you guys. What is He saying? What is He saying about your family? What is He saying about your neighbor that you're praying for? What is He saying about your work or your people that you're praying for? What is on His heart? And then, are you in a place of safety? Are you maybe, like I was at that stage, look, a little bit far off, at a place of where it's a bit dangerous? Are you a bit vulnerable? Do you need to come in to a safe place? Do you need to draw near? Do you need to come into a fold, into a body? Or if you know, on the other hand, do you know somebody that is not in a fold? Do you know somebody that is vulnerable, that is out there? I want to really encourage us. Somebody shared something this morning which really blessed me. He was talking about praying for his dad who had cancer, and he had the conviction, or he still has cancer. We're just trusting God for healing there. But his conviction was that we should extend our faith and not be double-minded. How often do we pray, Lord, if it's your will, you know, please. But some things we are confident of the will of God. Some things we know the will of God. And one of them is God wants us to be healthy. And the other one is that God wants every soul to be saved. Amen. So there's one thing you don't have to doubt, is that when you're praying for somebody's salvation, you are praying the will of God. Amen. I want to encourage us, when we're praying for somebody's salvation, when you're praying for somebody that's afar off that needs to come near, let's not be double-minded. Amen. Let's persist in prayer. Let's trust God. There's somebody in each of our lives that was persisting for us. I can tell you now, if my grandmother did not pray for us every day, I probably wouldn't stand here today. My parents still don't have a real relationship with God, but my granny prayed every day. Until the day she died, she prayed for us every day. In each of our lives, there's somebody that was persisting in prayer for you. I can almost guarantee it. And I want to encourage us, let's be that for somebody else, for our neighbor, for our colleague, or our family member, to persist. Standing on the word, standing on the promise, standing on the knowledge that God wants him to be saved. That's his desire. Are you with me tonight? Let's stand this evening. Stand with me. Actually, I would sit just for one moment. Oh no. I'm going to have you stand up and down. No, let's stand. Let's pray. I wanted to show a clip, but I'll do that another time. Thanks anyway, Josh. Okay. Just to look at a few basics here then. What are the things Do we believe, are we, if we look at these wild statements that Christ makes about himself, do we believe it? Is he really the only way? Is he really the way, the truth, and the life? Is he the light of the world? Is he the bread of life? Is he the resurrection life? If it is the case, what does that look like in you and my, our lives every day? Do we shine that light? Do we walk in that fullness? Is he the one that truly satisfies you and I? Can we say, can we draw near to him and know that this is the place where I can feel fulfilled? When I'm in his presence, when I'm near him, there's nothing that compares with that. Let's just close our eyes. Father, God, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you, Lord, for that we can have this confidence, Lord, in the fact that you do not change. And even as we look at these statements around Christ and about who he is, Lord, it challenges so much of what we see in society around us, Lord. The fact that there's no other way. All these absolute statements. You're the bread of life. You're the light of the world. There's no other. You're the way, the truth, and the life. God, we thank you, Lord, that even this evening, Lord, we come with humble hearts, God. And as every eye is closed here tonight, if you are at a place, okay, let's just pray. If you, every eye is closed this evening, I just feel there's a few people we need to pray for. And if you are here tonight and you are not in the fold, you're not in a safe place, you may be a little bit, you've drifted a bit off, you got distracted with something, and where you're at now, you're vulnerable. And there's a real danger out there. In those days, I mean, the sheep would get killed. Okay, there's like real danger. There's real danger of getting killed out there. And if you're in that place tonight, I feel there's an opportunity for you to say, God, I want to draw near. I need to come back into the fold. I need to come to a place of safety. I need to come close so that I can hear your voice. And if you've been hurt, maybe you've been offended in church, maybe you've been hurt by somebody in church, don't run. Don't isolate yourself. Draw near. Come closer. Come in. Come to a place where we can talk straight about it and we can draw near to the shepherd. And you can receive the fullness of the healing and the provision and the restoration that he has paid for you. And then also if you may be in a place where you've been going for it and stuff is happening, a lot is happening in your life, and maybe tonight Holy Spirit is just convicted you that you've been making lots of decisions, but you're not actually sure if Christ is in it. You haven't really sought him. You haven't really sought him or asked him. You haven't even asked God about his will for stuff that you've been doing. Maybe big decisions you've been making, but you're not even sure if Christ is in it. And tonight I believe there's a grace for you to say, Lord, I need to just pause. I need to stop. I need to just backtrack a little bit. I need to hear your voice. I need to just fine-tune. Tune out all the interference and all the other noise, and I need to hear your voice about this thing. If you fall into in any of those categories, or you just, if you need to hear the voice of the shepherd tonight, I want you to, just while every eye is closed, just put up your hand where you are. We're just going to pray together tonight. Is there anybody like that? Just while every eye is closed. Just to show to God that you wanna make a change, you wanna draw near to him. Amen. You guys, you can put down your hands. Let's just pray. Father, you see every heart, Lord. You see every hand tonight, Lord. We thank you, God, that you are the good shepherd. We thank you that you do not change, Lord. We thank you that you never leave us nor forsake us. And right now, in the name of Jesus, God, we humble ourselves and we draw near to you, God. And we say, we cannot go anywhere else, Lord, because you have the words of eternal life. There's no other way. There's no safer place. There's no better place than to be right here with you, with our shepherd, God. And we draw near to you consciously. We deliberately say, Lord, tonight we choose to stop, Lord. We choose to tune out the interference. We choose to get rid of the noise, Lord, and hear what you have to say. And I've just sensed that there's some of us here that are afraid to do that. We're literally afraid because of what you might say. Afraid that maybe of rejection, or afraid that some things that we hold dear, or that we kind of, we're almost scared that you're going to ask us to sacrifice. Or we actually know your will in some area, but we're holding on to something. And I thank you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you remove all fear, God. In the name of Jesus. We thank you that your perfect love casts out fear, God. Thank you for a confidence tonight that you know what's best for us, Lord. You have our best interest at heart, and your ways are, although your ways are so much higher than our ways, Lord, we know that you love us. And I just thank you for that you remove every fear from every heart. And I thank you for a boldness now and a confidence to draw near to you and to hear your voice, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we repent if we've been carrying on in our own mission and not hearing or not seeking your face, God. And I thank you tonight for a boldness to, and an urgency, Lord, to draw near, to stop and to say, whoa, I won't go any further unless I have a confidence that you're in this thing. You're in this relationship. You're in this work that I'm doing. You're in this project. You're in this thing. And I can go. And I know that when you're in it, Lord Jesus, that there's indestructible life in it. We thank you for that, God. I thank you, Lord, for a boldness for each of us tonight to be honest about that, Lord, and to really receive the grace that you have for us, God, in our situation, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, and lastly, we thank you for each of us, Lord. We know people that are far off, Lord. We know people that are in danger, vulnerable, because the devil is out there and he's seeking whom he may devour. He's out to kill and steal and destroy. And as we're standing, I just want us to each just to bring one name before God, one or two names maybe. Somebody that maybe is afar off, somebody that might know the shepherd but is vulnerable and is afar off and is in danger. Maybe somebody that doesn't even know the shepherd yet. If just where you're standing, just I want you just to bring one or two names before God, and then we're just going to pray together for them. Just come in agreement. Father, you've heard the names, God. You know the people. And we just want to bring them before you tonight, God. And we thank you, Lord, that we don't have to be, we're not confused about your will for every soul. And we just declare it over these souls and these families that they represent, that it is God's desire for every soul, for all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. We thank you, Lord, that is your will and that is your desire. And in the name of Jesus, I thank you for each of us tonight for an urgency, Lord, to pray for these people, God, in Jesus' name. An urgency to persist, God. Not to do it half-heartedly or double-minded and double-mindedness, God, but to focus and to trust you and to know that it is truly your design, Lord, that we would persist in it, Lord, in Jesus' name. And we bring them before you, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We pray that you lift up the veils, God. We pray that you tear down the stuff that is covering their hearts, Lord. Some of them hearts are hardened, Lord. We pray that you'd soften hearts, Lord. That you would open ears in the Spirit for them to hear, Father. That you open eyes for them to see. And Lord, more than that, even Lord, I thank you that when they see, when they hear, we ask in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you'd give them the boldness to respond to you, Lord. That they would humble themselves, God, and receive the grace that you've made available, God. In the name of Jesus, we bring them before you, Lord, our neighbors, our colleagues, our family members, God. And we look to you as our Savior King, as the one who's saved to the uttermost, Lord. Your arm is not too short to heal and to save, Lord. And we call on your name and we say, Lord, let salvation come in Jesus' name, Lord, and save to the uttermost, God, in Jesus' name. We call on your name for our companies that we work, our communities, Lord, our families. We thank you for rivers of living water. We thank you for wellsprings of salvation, God, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for a confidence that we know this is your will, and we know that you've made perfect provision, God, and the cross is truly sufficient, Lord. We thank you, Lord, and thank you right tonight for an impartation of a boldness, God, to persist in that, Lord, to seek your face, God. Because you are the good shepherd, God, and you save to the uttermost, God. We thank you for this in the name of Jesus. And we thank you even this week, Lord, for fruit, Lord, in and through our lives. Let your name be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen.